2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Read, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And some translators said, a little bit of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, or stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Lord, help me, break me, mold me, mend me. Allow me to bring a word that's on time for this particular hour right now. Don't allow me to try to do what I did at 8 o'clock or before, but just allow me to preach the word of God as you see fit. Eliminate distractions in the name of Jesus. Build me up so I can build these people up. Build my faith so I can build their faith. Build my courage so I can build their courage. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject, God, show me what I'm working with. God, show me what I'm working with. You ain't got to turn to your neighbor. Just say it to yourself. God, show me what I'm working with. So you got to tell God what you need. As I read the text tells us that a man that was faithful in ministry died broke. As I exegete the text, that would have seemed like to me, because he died and the woman was begging for bread and begging for food, because she said, you know, my husband was faithful, Elisha, and he died, and he died broke. And see, although Jesus said he came to give you life and to give you more abundantly, and he wants you to live that life, everybody doesn't get that life if you don't have principles that get you there. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? See, just because you live holy don't mean you're going to have money. See, there has got to be an application of what you do for yourself that sets a standard for your family and your children. The woman pleads with the prophet, please help me, they're going to take my children. See, and I was expecting, Sister Spells, I was expecting Elisha to write a check. But he says, what do you have at home? Nowhere in the text does the prophet give her a dime. Maybe we have to reevaluate how we do outreach. I'm not sure that we are helping people just by writing checks. See, he asked a critical question, how can I help you? In other words, he's saying, this is a day you're going to have to start helping yourself. These boys are looking at you, and you should not show them an example of a defeated, broke mentality. Are you showing them any resilience or creativity? Why are you asking me for help? Have you asked yourself? She answered the prophet from a broke, defeated mentality, I have nothing but a little bit of oil. Watch the prophet. Yes. Do you have any jars? Do you have any pots? He says, get all your jars and go to your neighbors' houses and borrow theirs. Get your jars and theirs. Get your sons together and start a family business with nothing. No bank, no loan, no capital, no cosigner. Everybody in her neighborhood had the tools for wealth but didn't even know it. She borrowed what she needed for the business from them. Why didn't they see what was going on? They made a loan and didn't ask anything. Sometimes we're helping people, but really handicapping them. Some people ask for the same thing over and over again, and we sometimes give all of ourselves away helping them. You have to learn to safeguard yourself and let people know, I can't help you this time. Some of us don't have anything because we poured out all of our oil on everybody else's family and everybody else's house. You have to be careful because sometimes you can be too nice. Oh, y'all don't hear me. People will use you and take from you even when they know you don't have anything else, even when they know you're giving out your needs. See, God said, I give you a good measure blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because he meant for you to give out of your overflow. Come on, somebody. But some of us are giving out of our need, helping everybody and struggling, and God has given us the resources to help us get where we're going, but we continue to plant our seeds in bad ground. Come on, somebody. If I was a farmer is not going to keep planting watermelon seeds in a ground that doesn't grow watermelons. But for some reason, we continue to plant seed after seed into dead relationships, dead businesses, dead investments, just because we have a relationship with that person. You got to learn how to plant your seed in good ground. Oh, church folk don't want to hear this, because they want to help everybody. I know we help some folk that can't help us, but I help who God tell me to help. I don't help who God don't tell me to help. And sometimes God tell me to help folk I don't even like. But apparently it's in good ground somewhere, so plant the seed. Everybody had the tools. You got to learn how to safeguard yourself. People will ask for emergency loans and assistance. You better start asking questions. Don't loan anybody money who don't have a plan if it's something you can't miss. In fact, I don't loan out money that I can't miss, so I won't be mad at you. I ain't going to give you nothing else if you don't bring it back, but I ain't going to be mad, because I ain't going to loan you what I know I need to get back. Because truth be told, when people say, I don't trust black vote, white vote, red vote, green vote, I don't trust nobody with money, because if they broke, more than likely they ain't bringing the money back. But you got to start asking questions. If you didn't pay this other loan, how you going to pay that loan and me? And if you did just that bad, how you sure you going to pay me? You got to start interrogating folk before you give them your substance. No, they don't want to hear that. See, the prophet didn't say, go get your extended family so they can help you poor. He said, get your own sons and close the door behind you once you start the business. He said, some of you are messing up because you continue to pull people in a vision that ain't meant for them. See, sometimes I be preaching or I be talking or I be walking around and people say, you ain't even say hey to me. And I'm like, I ain't see you. Yes, you did. You look right at me. How you know what my eyes saw? Maybe I got a lazy eye. Maybe I was looking that way and you was right there. I don't know. Maybe I'm cross-eyed, but I didn't see you. But you too have a mouth, so you say something to me. But the same way, if they can't see what I see through my eyes, they can't see the vision that God gave me. Stop trying to share your vision with everybody, especially to broke-minded people that's going to kill your business. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know what your heart gets infiltrated with? Your eye gate and your ear gate. And when your eye gate keep seeing stuff it shouldn't see and hearing stuff it shouldn't hear, then your mouth gate begins to speak out of the abundance you got from your broke, busted, and disgusted friends. You need to stop hanging around broke folk all the time and hang with people with vision. And even if some people broke, at least their mind is not broke. Come on, somebody. I need somebody that can say, we can get out of this ghetto together. Let's get out of here. We're going to do something. We're going to start this bakery business. We're going to start this real estate. We're going to start something, but we ain't going to be broke all the time. Why am I talking so loud? I just got excited. Sorry. Got the AKAs here. I got to be more sophisticated.
Close the door behind you. Stop trying to pull everybody in your vision. See, that's what I had to tell some of my healthcare people. They began to pull all these other people off the street first before they got the vision together with themselves. You can't pull everybody in the beginning in the embryonic stages because pregnant women don't even tell you until they get past their first trimester when they're pregnant because that's the time when they could easily have a miscarriage. So they don't tell you anything. If you have enough sense not to tell everybody you're pregnant because you could have a miscarriage, why you keep telling everybody about your vision before it gets in the, come on, somebody. You got to wait till your second and third trimester before you start bringing people in your vision. Stop bringing people out in your vision before you get it all the way together. They will contaminate your vision. They will make you abort your vision. They will make you miscarriage your vision. Stop telling everybody about your vision. He said, get your family and close the door and don't go get Bobo and Ray Ray and Shanae. Get in your own house and start your own business by yourself. Some of y'all look for too much help all the time. You don't need help for everything. You got to learn how to depend on God. You begin to pull too many people in your vision, it's bound to fail. I'm trying to talk to some entrepreneurs. He closed the door. He said, borrow pots, but not a few. They began pouring. Play close attention, Sister Debbie. The oil doesn't run out, the pots do. See, God can only pour into the areas you make available to him. He cannot pour into what you do not give him access to. See, some of us give God your praise, but not your determination. Yeah. You give God your prayers, but not your tithes. You give God your hopes, but not your dreams. See, you got to give God everything because God is a gentleman. He won't just pop up at your house like some folk do. God is a gentleman. He may knock on the door, but he's not just going to walk in without your permission. And some of you all need to understand that the oil in your life is only going to run where you have access to. She said, bring me one more pot. The child said, there are no more pots. And then the oil stopped flowing. What in your life have you not given God access to? And the oil isn't flowing. The oil represents the anointing, and the anointing does what? Breaks burdens and yokes. And some of us have burdens and yokes in our finances because we don't pay our tithes. Some of us have burdens and yokes in our relationship because we don't give God our wives and our husbands. We begin to make them an idol. You got to understand whatever God has given you, you got to learn how to give it back. When Abraham had enough sin to give Isaac back, God gave Isaac back and a whole bunch of offspring that he didn't couldn't even count. If you can count the sea, the sand at Virginia Beach, you still ain't got close to the offspring that Abraham had. Why? Because he had sense enough to sacrifice and give to God what God gave him. I'm trying to talk to you for a little while. There was a singular difference between a pipeline and a sewer. The difference is what runs through it. In a pipeline, it is oil. In a sewer, it's garbage and refuse. Some of us are frequent church attenders, but there is no sign of God. Now, I ain't trying to be conceited like the AKAs, but I just got to say, I know I ain't saying I'm the best preacher, but I can say I do give you some sound teaching. And how in the world do you come here every Sunday after Sunday and don't have any type of victory in your life? How in the world do you hear sound teaching Sunday after Sunday and still don't walk around with an anointing? How in the world do you hear sound teaching Sunday after Sunday and still walking around here broke, busted, and disgusted? How in the world that you don't have any victories, any deliverances? You got to understand that you are a pipeline and all runs through you. When you finally understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you won't care about when people talk about you and lie on you and tell you what somebody said about you and what you did to somebody and you know it ain't true. You will just understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? I got an anointing on me and yo can't stop it. Come on, somebody.
Ooh, I don't understand, but there are some people that come to church and are actually connected and understand I have the power to speak prosperity and blessing into my life and into my family because oil runs through me. And because I'm a pipeline, you can touch me and I can transfer this anointing on your life without losing the contents in which I possess. Why? Because I'm a child of God and I'm anointed. You can come against me. You can kick against me. I'm like a Timex watch, baby. You can kick me and kick me. I can take a licking but keep on ticking. Why? Because y'all don't hear me. I need you to understand. I'm tired of unconfident. I'm tired of mealy-mouthed, broke-back mountain Christians that don't have enough sense to understand that you serve a God that is powerful. And when you say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, it's God himself that lives in you. And you need to learn how to walk in that power. I'm tired of broke Christians. I'm tired of Christians driving cars and the only reason it's together is because Christian bumper stickers hold it together. I'm tired of people talking about how Jesus was made poor so I could become rich. Yes, he was made poor, but that doesn't mean he was poor. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. See, I'm from Atlanta, and Ted Turner was a billionaire, but then he gave some money to the UN, and he became like 999 millionaire. And so he won a billionaire, and he was depressed, walking around drunk with Charlton Heston because he felt like he was broke. But you give me $100 million, I'm smiling. But to him, he had become broke because he was used to having billions, and now he just had millions. So he was depressed. And so Jesus was used to walking on the streets of gold, used to walking and getting served hand and foot. So now he has to walk as a human, and now he ain't broke. Let me tell you why he ain't broke. If Judas was stealing money and they only had $10 and Judas stole five, only John knew he was stealing money. That's the only gospel he's in. He was stealing money, but everybody didn't know he was stealing money. Why? Because Jesus was not poor. You got to understand. See, some of y'all still got this Sunday school mentality where it was just three wise men going to see Jesus. If it was just three wise men going to see Jesus, Herod would not have been worried about it. Herod would have just put them to death and shut it down. But it was an entourage of people. They had three kinds of gifts. They had gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it didn't say it was just three of them. It was an entourage of people coming out to see Jesus. Jesus had an anointing of wealth on his life. Come on, somebody. That's why Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. Let her pour the oil on my feet. I have an abundance. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Stop acting like you're supposed to be broke. Some of y'all get mad when the preacher get paid because they're supposed to be broke. I had more money before I got here. I'm trying to make it back. Keep it at 100. Maxwell Realty, y'all ain't saying y'all don't bless me, y'all take care of me, but Maxwell Realty treated me good at the house. I ain't had no car note. Bought my Lexus with cash money. Oh, no, I'm trying to talk to you about something. I'm tired of being around a broke folk mentality in the church, and I refuse to let it affect me anymore. Y'all done kind of almost had me getting to the place, but let me tell you something that'll never happen. I'll never be broke. I said never. I done been broke before. But I'm not going to be broke again because I know that God said I'm supposed to have an abundance and an overflow. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to be like Creflo Dollar and give you prosperity every time, but I'm here to tell you that prosperity means lacking nothing. Not lacking in your relationships, not lacking in your money, not lacking in your health, not lacking in your emotion, not lacking in your spirituality. God wants you to be prosperous. In fact, he wishes above all things that you be prosperous and in good health, even as your soul prospers. That's why the devil attacked your money so much and your health, because God wishes of all things that that's what you have. Now, I knew that the devil was the worship leader, and I knew that he sits in high places. That's why people can prophesy to you and not really be speaking from God, because even Satan was there when you were made. He's principality of the air in high places. That's why your weapons are not carnal, but a spiritual, for the casting out of strongholds and vain imaginations and anything exalt itself against the armies of the living God, because the devil sees what's going on. The only time the devil can't hear you is when you learn how to pray in the spirit. That's why you need to learn how to pray in the spirit, because see, when you pray out loud in your own language, you on speakerphone. You can't keep no secrets on speakerphone. There's somebody in the room. But when you begin to pray in the spirit, you begin to talk to God directly. And so y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So the devil is always there. And if I began to listen to Cindy Trim, my friend had me listen to Cindy Trim, and Cindy Trim began to talk about how the devil was not over just worship, he was over offering. And that's why anytime I start talking about offering, it get quiet. So how quiet it got? Why? Because he knows God wishes above all things to be prosperous, and the only way to give him access to your money is through your tithes. Got quiet? You see, y'all don't want to hear that. I'm going to come back to that. But what I'm telling you is this. My job is to get my faith big enough to help lift you up like Magneto. See, Magneto, in the beginning, he could only lift up himself. But when he got with Professor X, he began to have more faith. He could lift up buildings and cities. Well, I got to build my faith up enough to lift you up. But you got to learn how to plant some seeds so God can begin to cause them to grow in your life. I'm telling you, I'm trying to pull up some entrepreneurs, but some of y'all not giving God access to your bill. Or y'all don't hear me? Because you ain't paying your tithes and bringing your offerings. Ain't it funny how testimony show almost sound like test of money? If you ain't passed the test of money, you ain't got no testimony. Moving right along, get the CD, listen to it at home so you can shout by yourself, because you sure ain't shouting right now. See, I need you to pay attention to the text. Again, the oil doesn't run out, the pots do. It only stopped flowing when the pots ran out. If she had more pots, it still would have kept flowing. In fact, Sister Ross, what I would have done was, go get some more pots. He ain't never said we're going to just stop. Hold on. I ain't going to the prophet yet. Let me go get some more pots and see what happens. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Anyway, let me keep on going. You got to give God access to the areas of your life you need an anointing in. See, let me tell you something. But when God gets ready to bless you, it'll be something already in your house. Oh, yeah, y'all don't hear me? Something already in you. See, the problem is we sing too many songs that's not theologically correct. When they say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, that ain't theological, because the Bible says that the Spirit will flow up out of you like rivers of living water. It's in you. The power is already in you, and that's why you keep looking for everybody around you to bless you, but the blessing is in you. That's why God wants to break you and reduce you down to your least common denominator so he can multiply you, because you can't get the anointing out of you until he breaks you. It will flow up out of you. Whatever God has gifted you is already in you. When he got ready to bless Adam, he took Eve out of Adam and said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Why? Because it was already in him. You need to stop looking at everybody and understand that if nobody agrees with you, it's good. Ask Bill Gates. Nobody agreed with Bill Gates at IBM. They fired him because he kept on doing the award. Now IBM can't turn on a computer without Microsoft. Yeah. What's a little nerdy dude from Apple that died? Ask Steve Jobs. Didn't nobody want to make a phone but him. And now Apple got the best-selling phone of all time. Nobody agreed with him. But sometimes it's good when people don't agree with you, because you need to get in your prayer closet, get in your house, close the door, and get with God by yourself so you can get all the blessing for yourself and you can bless people out of your overflow. Some of y'all are not blessing you're supposed to be because you keep pulling everybody else in the vision that God gave just for you. I don't know why I keep fussing. Sorry, everybody who ain't black. I'm get an 8 o'clock sermon. I'm trying. What God will bless will be in addition to what you already have. It would not be separate from what you're doing. It will add on. That's why God says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be. That's why when I left my real estate company behind, I didn't worry about it because I had to seek it first. And he'll add all these things. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Let me come back to that. That sounds like a good close. But how, he said, how can I help you? He is supposed to be a prophet. He's asking her to make her depend on the power God has in her. God is about to reveal some assets in your life that you didn't even know you had.
Oh.
See, that you did not know had value. It has been there, but you've not been able to recognize it. It's amazing how complex the brain is, but sometimes it'll miss the obvious. Have you ever been looking for your keys all day and it's right there in the drawer you always keep your keys in? Or it's in your pocket? Have you ever been looking for your glass and they on your face? One day I was looking for my cell phone and kept telling the person on the cell phone, looking for my cell phone. And then I'm like, man, I'm on my cell phone. And you dumb too. Now you know good and well I'm on the cell phone with you. And you know I'm looking for my cell phone. Bubba, us stupid. Don't you just call me stupid by myself. Because the mind sometimes in its complexity will miss simple stuff. You know, the world will say common sense ain't common. Can I talk to you for a minute? Look, ice cream was invented in 2000 BC. But it took another 3,900 years before the ice cream cone was invented. Huh? You made ice cream but didn't have a cone for 3,900 years? That's a long time. I ain't never lost my keys that long. I feel smarter already. You know what I'm saying? Cone. And even with this, I got to give an example of a blessing. See, you ever get an ice cream cone and they just put the stuff on the top? Like, hold on, press that down. Well, I got a cone. That they wouldn't make the cone long if it wasn't supposed to be nothing to go in there. I need you to give me a good measure, blessing woman. Press down, shaking together, and running over. You just put it at the top. What I'm going to do? What I'm going to do with the cone? If you're going to do that, just give me a cup. Meat been around forever. Bread was invented in 2600 BC. 4,300 years later, after bread was made, somebody made a sandwich. 4,300 years. The meat been sitting beside the bread that long. And you ain't never made a sandwich. 4,300 years. Woo! The flushing toilet was invented in 1775. It went into 82 years later, they invented toilet paper in 1857. What were they doing? 82 years, you just walking around like, yo, you know what, don't stink. Come on, somebody. So you just, and just get up and walk off. Like, ain't nothing happened. Before you wipe something. I know I ain't want to live in that house. Keep the outhouse where it was. Come on, it just, oh Lord. But it's hard to imagine ham and cheese without a sandwich, without bread. Ice cream without a cone. Hopefully you can't even imagine toilet without toilet paper.
Some of y'all are nasty.
I need you to go see Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off, something, my God. Some of y'all look like y'all didn't even care that somebody was going for 82 years without wiping. Anyway, the obvious never seems obvious before it's put together. You see what I'm saying? See, God is about to reveal assets to you. You have not been, that's been with you all the time. In fact, it's going to be so obvious you're going to get offended and mad that you weren't blessed before. See, I'm slowing down so you can hear me. You have it all. You just can't see it yet. Ain't it amazing how the Adam and Eve ate off the tree they weren't supposed to eat on? And money made out of trees, and you keep a lot of them trees in your pocket,
You're supposed to be giving to God? Well, I'm just going to leave that alone. I just thought about that sitting right here. But sometimes you got to understand, when you pay your tithes and offerings, that, again, God is reconciling you back to him. See, let me tell you something. Let me teach you something real quick that just hit me right now. See, back in the day, Adam and Eve didn't have to work for nothing. They ain't had to sweat. She could have had a baby. Boop, be all right. You don't need none of those little shots. You can just boop, and you chilling. I know it hurt. I know I can't imagine what you go through, but Adam and Eve before that, they wouldn't even felt it. But then they could work without even sweating. I should be able to preach without sweating. But because they ate what they weren't supposed to eat, it separated us from God. But when Jesus came, the second Adam, he reconciled us back to God. But the way to stay in right standing with him is when you pay your tithe, because they ate of the tree, the only tree they weren't supposed to touch, which to me represents the tithe. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And you got some stuff in your pocket you weren't supposed to touch. And so now you are, come on somebody, you missing your blessing, because now you can't see everything God wants you to see, because the same way Adam and Eve was put out of the Garden of Eden, you're put out of the mind of Christ, and you can't see everything God has for you because you keep holding on to something God never meant for you to keep. I'm trying to help somebody get your full mind back. The 10% that you're holding is keeping you from being in the right mind of Christ, because you continue to touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now you're outside of the Garden of Eden, and Eden means to be in the presence of God, just because you won't pay your tithe to reconcile you back to him, to have your full thought, so you cannot take 4,300 years to find an ice cream cone. God wants to plant something in you, but he can't do it because you're disobedient to him. Bring your full tithe to the storehouse, so they may meet in my house and test me in this, and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing, you won't have room to receive. The full tithe, because he knew some of y'all didn't understand tithe, it was 10%. Full tithe to the storehouse. And see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. See if I don't give you a God idea, so you can walk in the anointing I meant for you to walk in. See if I don't bring you back in the Garden of Eden to be in my presence when you give me my 10%, so you can hear what I'm telling you. That's good. I'm going to tweet that myself. If I had my phone, I'm just playing. I don't need the phone. See, God is about to show you something. Some of us are in church but not connected to God. There's some people that come to church every day, all week long. Some are here more than a staff, but you're not connected to God. And so you can't hear what he's trying to tell you. And some of you all, God has businesses in your own house. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You planted your seed. Where the waters that I saw them? You planted your seed. God going to bless the house. Both of y'all got your own businesses in your house. God is going to bless it. Why? Because you planted your seed. I'm trying to calm down. Let me show you the genius of toy makers. See, that we need to add to our own business acumen. They make more money on the accessories than on the doll itself. Look at Barbie. You buy Barbie, black, white, Hispanic, whatever color Barbie you want, Barbie. But after Barbie get tired, she's like, I got the same clothes on. I need to take a bath. You got to go buy Barbie a new outfit. Then after a while, Barbie said, you know what? I'm tired of walking and going to the bus stop. You need to buy what? A Barbie car. Barbie said, you know what? I'm tired of being over my mama's house. I need to go get me a house. Then you got to go buy what? A Barbie house. But then Barbie said, you know what? I done bought a house, but I need to go get a job. I need to go get a Barbie briefcase. Oh, no. You know what? If you think you're lonely now, she got to go find Ken, because she by herself. She go get Ken.
And say, oh, you buy candy and you go and you say, hold on, you can't keep driving my car because you were late picking me up to work last week, Ken. You got to go get you a car. Hold on, Ken. You using my money, Ken. You got to go get a job, get you a briefcase and a suit. And they keep adding on, come on, somebody, to what God. You got to understand that God wants you to understand that when I get ready to bless you, it will just be an add-on to the original dream of your life. You've got to recognize that if people come into your life and are not an accessory to the vision of your life, then they've got the wrong door. Because if you a knockoff accessory and don't fit the Barbie or the Ken image of me, you got to get to stepping. If you can't help me go from one level to the next, I can't be around you. If you can't take me from point A to point B, if you don't call me what God calls me, don't call me at all. Add on. Seek ye first the kingdom. See, the church has got to learn these principles and put them to work in our lives. You got to take the same ideas you had before you got saved and put it in the ethical guys. I got in trouble at 8 o'clock because somebody was acting like they wanted to get a pole job. Now, keep moving. You know what I'm talking about? I need you to put it in the ethical guys. Now, if you might can dance on the pole, and maybe that you was gifted at, but you can make it an exercise class now, okay? You can get in shape with it. I'm just saying, you take the same stuff. Okay, I don't hear what I'm saying. You got to make it ethical, though, because some of us made more money in the streets than we make in the church, and I'm tired of the people in the street are getting blessed, but we struggle in the sanctuary. That is not of God. God wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, yet you keep walking around here broke, but that's because no, God wants you to have an abundant life. Boy, I'm sweating preaching. There's more, and I got a t-shirt on because some of y'all don't want to hear this. God is telling you that all things work for the good of those. It is talking about your blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will add all this unto you. Yeah, y'all hear me? See, can I talk to people about the restaurant? Go to the restaurant. You know what? You go to the restaurant, they give you a wine list longer than the food list. Have you been going to the restaurant and there's about 20 tables open and they tell you, you know what, we don't have any seats yet? Hold on. You ain't got no seats yet? Yeah, we ain't got no seats because you want to sit over here at the bar and we'll call you when we're ready. And they look over there, and if you a real Christian, you ain't get no drink. But if you ain't real Christian, you over there drinking like me. And so then they don't call you quick. You know what I'm saying? If you go, pay attention though. If you ever go to the bar and don't drink, and it's empty, they call you back quicker. Because all they want you to do is spend some money before you go to the table. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They trying to tax you on the front end. And then after your dinner is over, you know what I'm saying? It's just because, I be with Sister Ross, and I be around her, so that's why I know about this. And so at the end of the dinner, they give you... At the end, they give you more dessert and dessert beverages that cost more than your food. Why? Because they want to tax you on the front end and the back end. See, the enemy is trying to tax you on the front end and the back end, not realizing he cannot touch the meat of your value. Once you realize how valuable you are and how expensive you are to God to operate in your purpose, you will tell the world, I don't need any appetizer. I don't need anything to take me away from my vision. I don't need any dessert wine. I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he's going to add all these things unto me. I'm going to seek God first and go to New Beach Grove. I'm going to leave Maxwell Realty, but when he's ready, he's going to add it on. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, boring people are broke. So I hope you ain't boring. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. Boring people are broke. You got to get to the point where you don't try to be like everybody else. You don't want to look like everybody else. And you don't care what they talk about you. Oh, let me tell you something. The police talk about me when I post something about somebody shot somebody and arrested somebody else. Come on, somebody. Somebody shot 20 folk and was chilling in the police car. Somebody was selling cigarettes and dead. They got mad. I didn't care. But then I came over here and a commercial and a newscast went out about how I helped build a gap between the police and the community. Then Negroes started calling me. Again, I didn't care. Whenever I do something for this side, that side, man. I do something for that side, this side, man. You got to get to the point where you don't care what you look like, who like you, and who approves of you. Because all you got to say is, I know my God, and I am myself, and I approve this message. I'm tired of broke church folk. Well, I ain't tired of y'all. I'm tired of y'all being broke. Freud would say I really meant the first statement, but since he dead, we're going to go with the second one. See, you got to understand he wants to add on. See, y'all don't hear me. See, when I was at home, I just give my own testimony. When I was at home, I was making good money. Like I said, bought Lexus truck, didn't have no car note. I was paid. Come on, somebody. I ain't had no car note. Buying houses, cash, investing stuff, because that's what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, God called me to go to New Beach Grove and told me to take a pay cut. The devil is a lie, but it was God. God said, you can't rebuke me. I said, the devil is like, he like, it's me. Damn it, it's me. I'm like, for real? I don't know about that. For real. He said, let it go, and I did. And so you got to understand, I let it go. And so now that I let it go, now in year 8, God said, now you can have what it is you gave up. Just like Abraham gave up Isaac, he gave Isaac back and more stuff. So then when I gave it up and came here, God now in 8 years said, I'm going to give you Maxwell Realty, but I'm also give you InTouch. I'm going to give you a community housing development organization that will give you money to build housing from the city to help build the city up. Come on, somebody. I'm going to help build it up. I'm going to put you on the Economic Development Authority. I'm going to put you on the Planning Commission, and you ain't going to even try to interview for it. They just going to pull you in. I'm going to put you on foundations where you can be around real estate folk. I'm going to put you on the board of review where you review people like Walmart and Target when they trying to get their assessment down. I'm going to put you in front of kings and queens. Why? Because you sought ye first the kingdom. Y'all better, Barbie ain't the only one that can do that. Come on, somebody. I want my add-on. I get mad at my mama all the time, because when she cook, she always telling me we got green beans, we got black-eyed peas, we got, I just want to know the meat first. Tell me the size later. I ain't vegan. I ain't a vegetarian. I want to know what the meat is. Tell me the entree first. Then tell me the add-ons. Well, if anybody eat like that, let me know. Anybody else with me? Nobody else? Okay, I got a few truthful Christians in the house. I guess the rest of y'all vegans, because you ain't no way you ate your vegetables first and then ate the meat. God, I ain't hearing it. The devil is a lie. I pray for a truthful spirit in the name of Jesus. But when you get like that, you got to say, God, give me my calling first. Give me what you called me to do, and then add on everything else. People get mad at me because I don't read the real estate stuff right away, and I don't read certain things about InTouch right away. Why? Because I know if I read my Bible first and get my lesson together, God will send somebody to put my stuff together without me having to do anything. Why? Because he's going to add on to what it is he gave me. I want him to add on to it. I'm going to seek ye first. See, I'm trying to get out of here. Look. This is what I need you to know. See, he'll add it on. You got to seek ye first, the kingdom first. See, where your treasure is where your heart is. Where your heart is where your treasure is. And see, sometimes we just talk about offering. But it ain't just offering. Because look, if you don't love somebody, you ain't going to give them no money. Huh? This is like a dollar.
But you ain't giving nobody no real money if you don't love them, right? You ain't. Keep it 100. You ain't. But your heart is attached to your money. But your heart is also attached to your money a different way. Some of y'all trying to be engineers and don't like math at all. Now, if you don't like math and you really want to be an engineer, fine. But if you're doing it just for money, you ain't going to get it. Because your anointing is where your heart is. See, this the whole thing. This whole thing, you got to go where you gifted at. You don't hear me. You got to go where you give them what you love, and God will bring money that way. You can be a teacher and still be rich because why? You can do workshops. You can do tutorials. You don't have to just stay in the school and tutor. They'll go home and tutor and charge them more money. Huh? But you got to stop. You got to be your authentic self. You got to be that. People say, how in the world you do all this stuff with basketball and it worked? Because that's what I want to do. That's what I'm made of. I don't go get an easy bake oven and try to be like Sister Ross and start a business like that. No, because that ain't what I do. I do what is true to me. And because it's true to me, I get blessed. Look at David. Remember David tried to grab the armor of Saul, and then he couldn't hardly walk. And then he took it off and said, I ain't used it before. And everybody thought David was going to die. But then David said, I'm going to get my skinny jeans on, a rag and a rock, and go fight this giant with these five fruits, smooth stones. And I used to think David had grabbed five just in case he missed. But I realized that Goliath had four brothers. And so David was like, don't start none, won't be none. As I kill your brother, I'm going to kill your mama, your cousin, and whoever step up to me. He grabbed a rag and a rock. I want to talk to somebody that live at home and all you got is a rag and a rock. Grab your rag and your rock and watch God bless it. If you can use your rag and your rock and it don't work, go, y'all don't hear me right now. Stop trying to be like everybody else. If you can cook, cook and make your money. If you can do comedy, make people laugh and make your money. Whatever God has called you to do and given you to do, get paid.
I discovered this morning. I'm going to sit down. See, a lot of times I miss comedy shows because if a comedy show clashes with my preaching, I give it to another comedian. But now that I started teaching this add-on stuff, God began to show me, when I send you to my place, just in case you don't bless me, I'm going to charge you 25% for taking my spot. And see, it got quiet because some of y'all say, why you don't just give it to them for Jesus? No, because Jesus said he going to give me an overflowing blessing. I got enough sense to find out where my blessing at. Come on, somebody. If I'm sending 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 comedians to my show that I'm supposed to do and they getting paid, no, let's do this contract. They going to pay me and I'm going to give you the 75% you're supposed to get. You got to learn how to put and package what you gifted to do and make sure you monetize it. I'm trying. Monetize it. I volunteer at church. I volunteer at the police foundation. I volunteer as a police chaplain. I go out in the middle of the night. I ain't volunteering for everybody.
Y'all did catch that, right? They volunteer for church.
Don't call for it. It's for real. No, I'm saying. Seriously, though, I want to take this and I'm going to leave you with this. I don't want you, well, I do want you to live holy, but I don't want you to live holy and still die broke. I need you to understand that you're gifted for a reason. But when you begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll bless you. Now, your kingdom may not be preaching. Your kingdom may be real estate. Your kingdom may be a doctor. Your kingdom may be a custodian. But what I'm saying is whatever God has called you to do, do it to your best of ability, and he will begin to add on to you the same way Barbie dolls add Ken, the house, the clothes, and the car. You hear me? You are anointed. You're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. God wants to give you a good measure of blessing. Press down, shaking together and running over. He wants to give it to you, but you got to want it. And you got to seek ye first what he called you to do first, and then he'll add it on to you. Nothing comes before pastoring. Nothing.
People say, oh, I know you're busy. Well, if your deacon can't handle it, I'd be here. Because this is my call first. It's a covenant relationship. That's why the covenant relationship, if you look at the fivefold ministry, pastoring is the wedding ring finger, because it's a covenant. And I got to take care of my call first. But whatever your call is a covenant with God. And you got to learn how to guard it. And when other stuff starts coming before that, unless it's your family, church come before everything. When I get married, church second. Call me at the last minute while you can. When I get married, since the girl said I can't go, I ain't going. You got to understand, your family first, then your call. God, your family, your call. Nothing comes before your family. That's your first ministry. Because truth be told, if you took care of your family like you took care of the church would be better. So many pastors get divorced because they're trying to take care of the church before they take care of their family. No, you feed the church, you take care of your family. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Keeping it 100. People be bragging, oh, Maxwell, you be doing all this, you doing all that. Yeah, I ain't married. I can do whatever I want to do with y'all. I get married. Somebody died. Deacon Spells, where you at? I can't go tonight. I'm just keeping it 100. Take care of your family. I'm back. See, y'all thought I had lost the text. I'm still in the text. He said, go get your two boys and close the door. Don't you let nobody else in this vision right now. Close the door, because I'm here to take care of you and your family. And when you learn how to take care of your family, close the door first. Then you can open the door and give every now and then when God tells you to give. But you got to learn how to take care of your family first. I'm done. Now, yeah, thank you for clapping. I appreciate it. Thank you. Now look, this is what I need you to know. I ain't saying it now, but don't even move the basket. If you didn't give early and you want a chance to give, the basket's right there. If you want to, that's on you. Ain't no pressure. I'm just saying it because I don't want you to miss your blessing. Amen. I don't want you to miss it, because I'm not going to miss mine. That's why I planted the whole seed that God gave me through New York Life, planted the entire seed in the church. Because what? Because God can give it all back. God can give it all back in 100-fold. And you do whatever God says do. Now, don't you get $7,000 if God ain't tell you to give it. But if he told you to give it, you give it. But don't give to impress nobody. Give for God. Amen? With that said, is there...